So I'm an engineer here at Kentucky Utilities, and I came here from another company, but...
How long have you been with KU?
18 years.
Okay.
Are you, before we talk about this, are you fascinated at all, like I am, about how they built this thing almost 100 years ago?
Yeah, and actually when I first got here, that was one of my questions, is can I go down to the dam and see it? And they took me down there to look at one of the intake valves, and that's kind of how I started working down at the dam for about, put 10 years in there, roughly, doing projects. So
What fascinates you about, before we start talking about the actual steps, what fascinates you about how what they did?
Well, the history behind it. I mean, as far as they didn't have cranes like we had today, we didn't, you know, it's just history kind of is really fascinating to me anyway, and watching and seeing some of these old photos was really interesting to me when you see side dumping going on and things like that. So it's really interesting to me as far as the history behind it.
Yeah. So very basic, let's start with this. Talk about the Dix River and what it was that they were doing to it and why maybe they picked this location, do you think?
Well, this location was picked because it's actually got a 500-foot elevation change so that you can dam up the river to make a hydroelectric power easier, because you don't have to have a bigger footprint. For hydroelectric, you can have a smaller footprint as far as the machines and still produce quite a bit of power out of them. So
are you saying that the rock was like 500 feet high above the Dix River at that time?
Correct.
Okay. And so the whole idea of that is the power of the water.
Right. You can generate more power because your head's higher, and the lake is really deep. So when you've got a deep lake, you can create more power out of the machines.
So I'm going to be very simplistic about this, so correct me if I'm wrong, but basically they're dumping a whole lot of rock into this almost like a valley area to begin stopping the water, controlling it. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
So take us through kind of how this worked from the beginning, what they're doing, how they get the rock and how they got it here.
So on the other side of this picture here, there's a spillway, and they blasted the rock out of the spillway, and they loaded it onto these cars and with steam shovels and put them on the cars, and then they backed it in here and side dumped it. So it just gravity fed off the cars, and they just kept doing that. And then they would do several lifts. So this is one lift, and then they do another lift, and then there's another lift above that one. So they just kept building it higher and higher and higher.
So describe, because our listeners can't see it, what it is they had to build for this train to do this.
So they had to build a whole track system to enable the cars to come in and do these lifts. I mean, they had several of them. They ran there's several switchbacks that they had to come from different areas. And so there's quite a railroad set of tracks that went all over the place. This property was full of them. To build this thing. So
basically they blast the rock, they load it onto the train, and they've had to build a trestle basically over where the dam's going to go to dump the rock off to the side.
Correct. That's very correct.
Okay. Take us through the next step. So you've got all this rock, like an immense amount of rock that's being dumped.
Yep, and then after they got so far, you got the next, that one with the... So then they went through a phase where they would lay stone on top of what you're seeing here is like three phases here. But the top phase, what the top picture or the top part of this picture is, it's derrick laid stone. So they have derrick cranes laid by hand, and they masonried it with, and then they called chinking, and they put in smaller rocks in between those to make it more flat. And then over here where you see the rebar, they're getting ready to pour concrete against that rock that they laid by hand, so you got a flat surface for the concrete to lay against, and then you got poured concrete, which you see these two people that are standing on.
How much rock are we talking about here?
Oh, it's 1.6 million cubic feet or something. It's huge.
So when they say this was an engineering marvel, I start to believe why.
Yeah, it was the highest rock fill dam at the time. I was like east of the Mississippi or something like that, I think. But yeah, in the world. Yeah, I mean, it was huge. So, and they had a lot of workers on there, and especially laying concrete or laying derrick laid stone, is you can see how thick it is. It's like 7 feet thick at the base. So you can see that thickness back up there. It wasn't just one stone, you know, laid there that was, you know, two feet thick. It was several stones laid thick against there.
So they've dumped a lot of the rock, and then they're, you said, chinking it, or I think that's the word you use, mm-hmm. putting in smaller rock to kind of fill in gaps.
Yep.
And then this comes with, this is almost like rebar, right?
A rebar, and then to get ready to pour concrete. So then they poured concrete in the rebar to have your, what people see today is the concrete apron on the front, the face slab. That's the face slab that they're talking, that they see.
So this is like 287 feet high, yeah. right? Yeah. How thick is it?
So at the base, I think the base is like 2 feet, and it goes 2 feet thick. Oh, you're talking about the whole dam itself?
Yeah,
okay, uh-huh. I was thinking, you're just saying concrete. Yeah. The whole base itself is like, I think 1,000 feet. It's 1,000 feet wide by 1,000 feet high or long, something like that, 1,200 feet long.
And we're talking about thousands of workers.
Yeah, I mean, and it, yeah, they had different encampments for everybody out there. So, I mean, if you're married or weren't married, mm-hmm. and if you're single, so, you know, they had people and the, what the drawing show, but there were, I don't know how many, I don't recall how many workers there were on, yeah. on there. So
take us through, this was a private enterprise. You talked about it earlier. Tell us how that, the group that started it and kind of their name and how that moved to KU.
So L.B. Harrington was the guy that studied Dix River for a long time. I think it was like 12 to 14 years. He studied the water and got a group of guys together. Can't remember their names, but they ended up getting, L.F. Harza was the designer of the dam, and he ended up getting a couple renowned people that were very reputable in dam building. Arthur P. Davis is one of them, and then they formed a group of people called Dix Power Company, and then they got in touch with Kentucky Hydroelectric Company, and together they formed this, well, it's not a company, but it was those two that funded it, and then it later became Kentucky Utilities. So it started out as Kentucky Hydroelectric Company, and then it came, formed into Kentucky Utilities. So
very basically, explain to us how hydroelectric, how this works, how the dam works with the water, and how that eventually produces electricity.
So water will eventually go through the tunnel that we have at the bottom. What most people see out there is the chimney, but that's a plug valve that we can close or open, but we mostly generally leave it open. Then it splits off. The tunnel goes about 1,000 feet to the other side of the dam and then splits off into three pipes. We call them penstocks, but three pipes, and it goes into each machine, and it spins the water wheel, which spins the generator. It's all connected, and the generator makes power. So
the tunnel that they made underneath, how big could a man walk through it?
Oh, yeah, it's 24-foot diameter. So in each pipe that comes out of there is 8-foot diameter, so there's three of them.
So, again, I'm being real simple here. Water from Harrington Lake goes through that tunnel, even today, and eventually gets split off into three, you called them, they're pipes, but you called them
penstocks.
Penstocks. Yep. And that power of the water generates electricity eventually.
Yep, that's right.
Anything else top of your head just about the building of it that you think is interesting? That, I mean, because we, as we've discussed before, you didn't have, you had some power by steam, right? You had the train, of course, and you had some shovels, steam shovels, right? But a lot of this was also just hard physical labor, right?
Oh, yeah, correct. That's you didn't really have OSHA back then, right? So, I mean, that's where, you know, people did stuff, and it was just hard work. What's interesting is if you go in the building down there at the hydro building, they did that, they built that in stages, right? So they put a piece of equipment in, and they built around it, and you'll see where they had ladders built out of rebar, you know, the old ladders that you stuck in concrete, and you can look, and it'll go up the side, and it'll stop, and then there's the ceiling. So that was their way in and out before there was the ceiling. So you'll see ladders down there that go nowhere. It's interesting. So,
and the villages, they've disappeared since then. But yeah. what was that was where people lived, right?
Yep, they had like I said, they had camps. They had places where you would what's the word? I forget the word, but where people would go to have refreshments, mm-hmm. and they could sit and talk on the deck. It was around the whole thing. Pavilion thing, type right. thing.
Because this took, what, a couple of years?
Oh, yeah, it took several years. Yeah. I think it started in 23 and finished in 25, so. Okay.
Any idea what they got paid? Someone told me $1 a day. I don't know if that's true.
I think that might be the case, but it wasn't it wasn't a lot. I know the from the memoirs of the young engineer, we have a book from him, by him. He said that the accommodations were not that great, but if you went over to Shakertown, that place was where a lot of people with a lot of money would stay over there, and that's where they wanted to go, but they didn't. They couldn't afford it over there, is what the memoirs talk about. So,
yeah. So get the rock dislodged from the what was it, the cliffs? You called it the, what was it, where the rock came from?
The spillway.
The spillway. Did they use dynamite?
Yes, they did. They used dynamite, and they actually used one of the big shots. They had two of them. It was like 80,000 pounds of dynamite was on the far east side that they used on a big blast to try and help start the dam on that side. But they did it in the spillway.
Last question. I've seen some pictures of people in their Sunday best. Give us a kind of describe. I mean, this was like, I don't know if they were celebrities, but people came here just because they wanted to see this engineering marvel, right?
Yeah, there's pictures that we have where people come out and they are dressed in their Sunday best, and they come out for the day and just have a day at Dick's Dam, picnic or whatever, because it was a fun time to come out and just be out here and to see it. We used to have outcroppings across the dam, and they could look out the backside or look out the front side, and but those are, things have changed since then, but it was a unique place to come back in the day.